Welcome to Carrickfergus Vineyard, a place of hope where lives are changing. We're a church in the heart of Carrickfergus, passionate about seeing people's lives changed by the love of Jesus. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services.
The person of the Holy Spirit is something that many of us over our lifetime might have heard lots about, and so for some of us this is going to be really kind of going over old ground and refreshing and renewing and hopefully exciting and inspiring us again to push into and relate to and experience and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. My life group in the last term, we'd actually bless them, they had signed up to do something completely different, and I felt really strongly before we started leading that group that we needed to really press into the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we did. And you're still here, some of you, which is great. Some of us. The Holy Spirit is God. And there's so much about him that can be so easily misunderstood. And it's really the teaching about the Holy Spirit and the practice of the Holy Spirit was one of the things that first drew me strongly to the Vineyard Church from my experience and background having come from Soul Survivor. And it's fair to say that there are significant differences of thinking, interpretation, understanding and practice of the Holy Spirit within the wider body of Christ. And respectfully, we honor those differences. For us, however, we really are passionate about not only reading what Jesus and the apostles had to say about the Holy Spirit, but the way in which Jesus and the apostles ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit, and how Jesus taught not just his disciples, then apostles, but is teaching us to experience and know the person of the Holy Spirit, but also to be empowered to work in and through his power. The last two of our teaching sessions, I Am the Way, the Truth, and the Life, I Am the True Vine, from our I Am series, which concluded just last Sunday on Easter Sunday, those verses, those statements that Jesus spoke were to his 11 disciples at what was known as the farewell discourse. It's a fancy kind of terminology which someone later down the line has termed it. It's this conversation that Jesus has with his disciples, 11 of them. Judas has already left to go and sort out some money and then arrest. But the 11 remaining, Jesus is having this incredible conversation with his disciples. And he's preparing them for what's to come. But he's not only preparing them, he's actually teaching millions of disciples that have gone since the resurrection to now, but also for us today. And so some of the best teaching that we have and the understanding of who the Holy Spirit is actually taken in some of those chapters in John. Very briefly, John 14, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit." And then a couple of verses later, Jesus says to his disciples, but he says to us today, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Jesus knows death and resurrection is coming. 40 days after the resurrection, he spends with his disciples and appears to hundreds of people, showing that he is alive. And then 10 days later, therefore 50 days after the resurrection, Jesus ascends after 40 days. 50 days is the day of Pentecost, which we'll get to at some point over the next number of weeks. The day of Pentecost is where the Holy Spirit came to all believers. And we as believers today, we believe and we know that the Holy Spirit is here amongst us right now. Like the wind that we have noticed over these last couple of days, the Holy Spirit comes like a rushing wind. And he comes to us and he's coming to us. And so our hope and our prayer and our expectation over these next coming weeks is that we'd have a greater understanding that we would teach the scriptures really, really well about who the Holy Spirit is, but as well as having an understanding that we as his believers would experience God through the person of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at things like who the Holy Spirit is, how we can be filled by the Spirit. We're going to learn how to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at some of the spiritual gifts, especially some of the charismatic spiritual gifts. And we'll talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit who comes to us and changes our lives. So that's just a little bit of an introduction about where we're going over the next few weeks. And it's great to see in your faces how excited you are about that. And I will just step down and let Hannah enthuse you. Here we go.
I'll try my best. Hello, everyone. It's just great to be here this morning. If we haven't met, I'm Hannah, and maybe you don't recognize me because for the past while I've been in Coleraine at university there. But this is home for me, and I just love that I've been asked to speak this morning about who the Holy Spirit is. It was in this place and through this church that I really learnt about the Holy Spirit and who he is. And so I just want to pick up from where we are in like this story. So last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday, and we got to celebrate that Jesus conquered death and rose from the grave. And as Paul said, then Jesus walked the earth for 40 days and met with loads of people. But then there's this moment where he ascends to heaven. And in the Bible, we're told that he is hidden by a cloud or goes up by a cloud. For most of us, we're quite familiar with that. All I feel like I've seen for the past while has been clouds. But for the Jews, the cloud was an iconic symbol of glory. And so Jesus ascends to glory and is seated in heaven. But the disciples are standing there as we have the account in the Bible. And I would have just loved to have known what they would have done in that moment as they see their friend and teacher and savior Jesus just go poof in a cloud. And I just imagine the looks on their faces and the main question being, well, what do we do now? Although Jesus had hinted at them and told them straight that he was going to leave them, none of them really saw it coming. It was kind of this pattern among the disciples. But now he's gone, and what's next? They hadn't really planned for this. This week up in Coleraine, a few friends from Carrick came for dinner, and it was so lovely. But we were just sitting in the living room afterwards, and someone had this like weird idea to go to the beach at 9 p.m. I think it was me. but anyway, we distributed all the coats we had from our house to the like 7 or 8 of them who were there, hopped into 2 cars, 5 minutes down the road to Port Stewart Strand, and got out to a dark and slightly wet beach. And we just kind of stood there and were like, what now? We've just come to the beach, but we had only planned so far. And so that's how I imagine the disciples in that moment of being like, well, what do we do now? Surely that these ordinary people, fishermen, husbands, daughters, can't do what Jesus did without him. If they couldn't cast out demons while Jesus was with them, how are they going to do it now that he's gone? It's like it's one thing, to put it in context, it's one thing to watch Messi play in the World Cup final, and it's quite something else to be substituted onto the pitch and play in his position. It's like, I admire Usain Bolt, but there's no way I can run like him. Or if you like English, you may be like Shakespeare, but I don't think you can write like him. And it's like, I can worship Jesus, but can I really minister like him and continue his ministry? And so that's where we get to pick up in this series. And I'm sure we're going to be looking at the book of Acts. And I love how it's called the Acts of the Apostles, not the Acts of Jesus. It's a record of ordinary Christians who, long story short, were not perfect, but picked up. And through the Holy Spirit, they went and did it and went and did the stuff that Jesus did. They got to step into Jesus' sandals and continue his ministry and expand it on a global scale. And through the Holy Spirit today, we get to step into Jesus' sandals and do the stuff that he did right here in Carrickfergus or wherever you may be planted, and expand his ministry in our schools and jobs and homes. And I get excited about this, as we should. We're going to look at that in the weeks to come, and someone else can touch on that. But to be able to do the stuff through the Holy Spirit, we need to know who he is. And so that's why this morning we're going to look at who is the Holy Spirit. So in a nutshell, the Holy Spirit's God. He's part of what we call in the church the Trinity, which is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's what we were singing earlier. He's three in one. And when I was younger, it was explained to me like a shamrock because my mum drew this three-leafed leaf. It's three in one. They're equal in divinity and purpose. And the Holy Spirit is fully God, and his will is always in line with God the Father and God the Son. And while the Holy Spirit's God, he's also his own person, just as much as God the Father and God the Son, Jesus, is a person. And I think sometimes we shy away from the Holy Spirit because, well, we just don't know everything about him. But we can't put him in a box or contain him, just like we can't contain the Father or Jesus. So it's okay if we don't fully understand him now or in 10 or 15 minutes' time, because it's God, and we just can't contain that right now. So we can all take a deep breath. So where to start? Where did the Holy Spirit come in? We can go to page one of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1-2, it said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." So there he was, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was there from the very beginning. And Spirit of God is what biblical authors use to describe God's personal presence. So God's personal presence was present at creation, not an afterthought or someone who just came along halfway through the story. I love how this author, Andrew Ullerton, puts it. He said, "The Spirit is not a surprise guest at the end of the play, but a central character right from the very beginning." And then throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit is with and speaks through certain kings and prophets, but miracles and healings and things brought forth by the Holy Spirit were far and few. So while the Holy Spirit has always been around, he hasn't always been available to everyone. But that's where Jesus picks up and promises that he would come. So if you've got a Bible with you, if you want to turn to John chapter 16, and we're going to kind of flick through a few verses from chapter 16 and 15. But to put it in the context, as Paul was talking about, like this last bit of Jesus' teaching to his disciples, Jesus is sitting chatting with his disciples, and he's just told them in one passage in John 15 that you can do nothing without me. The next passage he tells them, the world is going to hate you. And then the next one he says, I'm going to leave you, but don't worry because it's for the best. And if I was sitting there at the table with Jesus, I would just be like, this is not the best day. Can we go back to where he multiplies the bread and fish? But Jesus, are you for real? But anyway, he says in verse 7, chapter 16, "But very truly I tell you, or nevertheless I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And I just find it really interesting that he says, it is for your good that I am going away. And the disciples, we stand at the other side of the story. We know what happens next. But if the disciples really knew what was going to happen next, was it really to their advantage? Like, it was to their advantage that Jesus is arrested, to your advantage that Jesus is beaten, to your advantage that he was mocked and nailed to a cross, that it's to your advantage that Jesus dies in the company of criminals and then that he's laid in a cold grave. But this word, "but in fact," or in other translations, "nevertheless," is one of the great words in the Bible. And it means, despite all of that, like despite the everything that Jesus was about to do, they knew he was going to be filled with sorrow, but despite all of that, it was to their advantage. And we have got to recognize that that must have been hard to hear when you're living in the presence of Jesus, of the Son of God, that he tells you it's better that I'm going to leave you. And how often do we find ourselves there when we don't understand, we're told things and we don't understand? It's hard to watch life unfold because we can't see the future. And for me, this reminded me of a time in like 2020 when my dad was really, really sick. And he was in hospital for a long time, and we thought that was it, and we didn't understand why we weren't getting the healing that we were praying for. And it was really hard. But in the end, we did get miraculous healing, but almost in like the last minute. And I think because of that, then God got all the glory. And looking back now, I can slightly understand why we didn't get maybe the miraculous healing that we prayed for at the start, but miraculous healing in the last minute because God got all the glory. And I know that every story of sickness doesn't end in healing or miracles the way we want or pray for. But the good news is that God is still writing his story and all of our stories. And this one that he is writing is one of hope and restoration and hope. But just not that. Like, it's for your good that I'm going away. When Jesus said this, it wasn't just to his disciples. One of the things that struck me and that I love is that when God speaks, he always has generations in mind. So when he said to his disciples, it's for your good that I'm going away, he had you and me in mind and other nations in mind. That while Jesus walked the earth, while he was 100% human and 100% God, his legs and a donkey could only take him so far. But now we get to partner with the Holy Spirit and take it worldwide. And we know this is true because in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them." This is not a promise that Jesus could keep in a human body. It had to be through the Spirit. And I know if Jesus was present here today, and he has the power to be if he wanted to, there would be some Christians who would be overjoyed, but it would be those in his immediate presence. But the rest of us who were followers or Christians, while we knew he would still be here, would have this overwhelming sense that he's not actually with us, that he's with other people. But he gave us his Holy Spirit so that each and every one of us could experience him and be with him at all times. And we struggle maybe to grasp this because we're so used to limitations. I know when my mom gets stressed, or when maybe if you have kids, you'll know if, when they're at that stage asking for lifts, can you take me here, can you take me there, they get stressed and say, I can't do everything, or I only have two hands, or I can't be in two places at once. But we can't put that on the Holy Spirit or Jesus, because he's able to be with us in every moment. And by that as well, we get to walk by faith and not by sight. And if Jesus was here in body form, there would be this great temptation just to believe what we see, to believe that he is who he is because we've seen it. But we get to walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah. And then Jesus explains or teaches about the Holy Spirit, and he uses this word advocate. He gives the Holy Spirit a different name. And while in the church we normally just refer to him as the Holy Spirit or Spirit of God, Jesus uses a few different words. And I know some of us are used to having maybe more than one name. I remember being shocked when I found out that Sergi's name, real name, isn't Sergi. And I was like, what? That's for you to tell, Gary. when I was younger, I got Hannah Banana. And I remember this guy in my high school class in first year who got the name Jaffa for 7 years because he ate a packet of Jaffa cakes in like the first week of first year. And last week, my cousin was telling me about this poor kid in his class who gets called Allergy Joe because he carries a bag with EpiPens in it. So I know, purge Allergy Joe. But names are really important. And even more so in the Bible. So to name a person in the Bible was to declare something prophetically over their lives. Their name was intimately connected to their spiritual identity of who am I, and then their spiritual destiny of what I will become. Thankfully, Hannah Banana is not my spiritual identity, neither is it who I want to become. But names give us a sense of who we are and are an incredibly important part of our identity. So if we want to know who the Holy Spirit is, we can look at his names to get a pretty good indicator of who he is and what he does. So in John 14, verse 16, Jesus uses advocate. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." And he goes on to say, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." In other translations, in John 14, verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and remind you of everything I have said to you." And in John 15, 26, again he says, "When the Advocate comes, who I will send to you from the Father, and the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." And this word that Jesus uses, advocate, or also translated to helper, comes from the Greek word parakletos. I've probably butchered that, I'm so sorry. But it means to stand beside, like as a lawyer standing beside you, or someone who walks alongside like a friend. So the Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God walking beside you. And when I realized this, then I put that into like one of the verses, like swap out advocate for the personal presence of God walking beside you. So, and I will ask the Father and he will give to you another advocate, the personal presence of God walking beside you to help you and be with you forever. And I just love that. The Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God walking beside you on your good days and your bad days and everything in between. And he's the one who walks beside you in both joy and grief, in celebration, in loss, on the special occasions and in the mundane. He's not limited to baptisms or conferences or Sundays. And if that was the case, would we not just be like orphans who then got reunited for a few days throughout the year? But instead, he has not left us alone. He's not left us as orphans, and he will not abandon us. But he's right here with us, walking alongside every day, just like a friend. And the indwelling Holy Spirit means that the places that feel weak today don't have to be hidden and covered up, but we can actually bring those things to God in prayer, bring them to the advocate, the helper, the Holy Spirit, the God eager to help. And that's what he longs to do. It's what he does best, and it's who he is. He's a helper and not a hinderer. There's a book called Vineyard Values, and if you're part of the church, I would really recommend that you read it. But in one of the chapters on the Holy Spirit, it kind of sums up what the Holy Spirit does. So I just want to read it. It says, "The Holy Spirit is given to us as a deposit guaranteeing God's goodness to come, to assure us of God's presence within, to speak through us to one another, to guide us in our own understanding of God's gifts to us, and to empower and to impact non-believers, and to give us rest." And I read that first and thought, okay, that's great. But then I realized, oh, wait, this is the Holy Spirit who is the helper. So I read it again and I thought, oh yeah, every single one of these things, this is the Holy Spirit helping us in each and every different aspect that he's given to us to help guaranteeing God's goodness to come. He's helping to assure us of Christ's presence within. He's helping speak through us to one another. He's helping us by guiding us in our own understanding of God's gifts to us. He helps to empower us to impact non-believers, and he helps give us rest. And I just love that. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For when we do not know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groaning that cannot be expressed by words, as in Romans 8:28. And help looks different, but as seen in that little paragraph, but I think it always looks like sharing. It always looks like inviting someone in. When something goes wrong in your house, like your pipes get blocked or you need the walls repainted, you have to ring someone and ask them to come and do the job that you can't do or maybe not qualified yet. And it looks like ringing them and opening the door and letting them in. It looks like, yeah, sharing the burden. I think that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So in a nutshell, the Holy Spirit is God and he's here to help. I just want to say also that there's only so much that, even as we go along this series, that I can tell you about the Holy Spirit. But because the Holy Spirit is a person, just like any other person, you've got to get to know him. And like every relationship, the more time you spend with him and get to know him, the more you get to know him and all that he has for you. And he's available. He's the helper. All we just need to ask him to do is come and help. In Psalm 91, verse 15, it says, "When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them." And I think sometimes, and even this week, the most honest prayer we can pray is, "Holy Spirit, help. Come and do what you've said you'll do. Come and help me in my words and what I need to do next. For your patience, for peace, for rest, help." And I think that's a good place to start. And I just want to assure you, he really wants to help.
Thanks for listening to the Carrot Fergus Vineyard podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our church, please visit our website, carrotfergusvineyard.org.